Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, now it's confirmed. North Korea has miniaturized nuclear warheads. It's the discussion of the news all across the world. North Korea threatens Guam now. They continue to speak of total destruction of the U.S. mainland. So President Trump promises, quote, fire and fury like the world has never seen, end quote. Well, I asked a simple question. Is there a way back from this abyss? The Chinese say, cool it. Russia says, take a deep breath. And others are saying, well, it's not appears. Others saying it's more than it appears. And in the midst of this, Russia moves ahead and begins the building of a military base just 5 miles from Israel's northern border. In addition to that, the United States decides to coordinate their activities with, get this, Hezbollah in the Middle East to fight ISIS. My logical question is, what in the world's going on? Can you make sense out of all of this? Well, today we're going to pose this question here on Stand in the Gap Today. What in the world is going on? And we're going to try to answer this from the pages of the newspaper and, of course, the Bible. So stay tuned as we unfold another day here on Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'll be joined today by Gary Dahl and Isaac Crockett and our special guest and expert in Middle East affairs and biblical prophecy is Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Well, men, two big news items of the day, two different parts of the world. I want to go there first, and then we're going to go into North Korea. It's going to be one of them here. But I want to give an update to a piece of news that really is not in any of the American news, but we talked about it yesterday on this program, and that is what happened yesterday in the critical election in the nation of Kenya. We announced yesterday that final results from that day's election would likely not be known for 36 to 48 hours. Now, that probably is going to be true from the standpoint of certifying the election. But last night, the election was called in favor of President Kenyatta, the current president. When 75% of the votes were cast, he had a margin of 55 to 45%, significant enough that the election was called. Now, his opponent has decided not to concede, and that opponent is in fact an Islamic-supporting, George Soros-supported opponent. What we can announce is this. Due to a significant and larger-than-normal turnout by voters generally, and it has appeared in Nairobi, Kenya News, that the involvement of pastors and Christians there was something that made the difference. Ladies and gentlemen, we were praying for that. The pastors in Kenya, in discussion with what we're doing here, got engaged, and they were encouraging Christians to go out and vote for the righteous candidate. So that part is good news. The bad news is the opponent has refused to concede. That's a problem, because 4 years ago in the Kenyan election, the Islamists and the anarchists on the ground went to violence, and there was violence that spread across that nation before the world community stepped in. Now, here's a piece of news that's not in the news. Who's on the ground over there actually kind of organizing these potential violent individuals and coordinating with George Soros? You got it. Former Secretary of State John Kerry. That's right. He's on the ground. He's there as an, quote, observer. But he's operating in league with George Soros paid investigators and the George Soros-supported opponent. The fear of violence is very significant and enormous there in Kenya now, and the pastors have asked us to inform and request our listeners on Stand in the Gap Today to pray that the violence is quelled in Kenya, that the election is quickly certified, and they are praying and hoping that President Trump would come out very quickly and make a statement recognizing the election of this president, which is what the churches and the pastors in Kenya are wanting to do. Isaac, you are with us right now. I'd like you to just take 30 seconds, if you could, pray specifically for this request there in Kenya before we get in the rest of the program. Could you do that, please?
Almighty Father, we come to you knowing that you are the creator of all this world and that you have your eye on Kenya, that you listen and you understand. We thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ throughout Kenya and throughout the world, really, who have been praying and fasting for your glory in this election. We thank you for the good news, and we pray for the scary things and the bad news going on. We pray, Lord, that humility and godliness and righteousness might overcome violence and power and riches that are seeking for the harmful things. We pray that those who are rioting and protesting, Lord, that there might be a change of heart. And overall, Father, we just pray for peace and for wisdom with President Kenyatta and with the entire country. And we pray that that this might be handled in a peaceful and godly way, a way that can bring about blessing to Kenya and be an example to all of Africa and all the world through this. And we just pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done in Kenya today as it goes forth in heaven. We pray for your glory in all these things. We thank you, Father, for what you have done and for what you will do. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious and powerful Savior, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know that because you're not going to hear that anywhere else. But now, Gary, I want to go to North Korea because that now is the leading item, and we're going to transition into the segment with Jimmy. Next segment, we're going to talk about that. But I want to lay something out before you. The intelligence community has now confirmed that they have miniaturization, likely got it from China. We do know that North Korea can launch their missiles 7 miles in the air, way above the U.S. space station. We know it can go as far as hitting the mainland. It's a game changer, what we now know. Oliver North just said in an interview last night that we don't have years to figure this out. Matter of fact, we don't have months. We may not even have weeks before we have to act militarily. It's sobering, Gary, in every respect. I just like to ask you right now this thought. We obviously, where we are right now, because a lot of people in the past, the Clintons and the Obamas, were appeasement-minded people. Gary, give us a direction. What does appeasement ever come to that's good? And a biblical principle, perhaps, that you can tie into what should be done in times like this.
Well, first of all, Sam, let me say that appeasement, or what we say politically, kicking the can down the road, has been taking a toll with us in our relationship to North Korea. That's something that should not be done, and probably four or five presidential administrations have done that. I think that when there's a situation to deal with, it needs to be dealt with as soon as possible and as expedient as possible. And I think that that's one of the reasons why we are where we are with North Korea today. We've not done that. I've got quite a bit that I would like to say about that. There's a lot that we could say about it, but in the fact that we don't have much time left, I'll just keep it at that particular point.
All right. Well, Gary, you just mentioned that we get ourselves in trouble when we don't deal with evil like we should right up front. That's the challenge before the president right now, perhaps like never been before any president. Now, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go and we're going to talk further about North Korea, and we're going to bring in the whole issue of Russia. Who has the greater ability to stop North Korea, Russia or China? We're going to ask Jimmy DeYoung, our special guest, that question when we come back.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community, hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare? Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your health care. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, the announcement yesterday about North Korea, which is all across the news and we just touched on in the last segment, about having actually now miniaturized their nuclear warhead capability, likely coming from China, but certainly in working in relationship with China and Iran, is an indication that they are further, much further down the road in their technology than anyone thought. And that's what is being said. But it leads me to wonder whether or not if the intelligence community just now figured out that they have nuclear really capability and that they have now miniaturized something, and they just came to this recognition. I wonder how much of their information is accurate. Perhaps the North Koreans have gone even further, and they don't know. But in any case, the threat to safety and security of Americans and South Koreans and Japanese and others is jeopardized. One of the questions we're going to answer about this development as we look at this whole thing is, how should we as Christians ultimately view these developments? And we're going to talk about that, and we're going to conclude even in the program, the last segment, focusing a bit on that. But Jimmy, let me welcome you right now to the program, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Thanks for being back with us again.
Thanks to be with you, Sam. Great to have this opportunity.
Well, Jimmy, I know you're following world events just like we are, and your input and perspective is critical, and I want to pose this before you right now. The reality that North Korea is far more advanced militarily than thought. Their progress is due to, like I said, probably China and Iran, both of whom, both Iran and China, are at different points of conflict with the United States, seems to make almost like a triumphant here coming together that challenges the U.S. leadership in an extraordinary way. But yesterday, Russia's one of their spokespeople called for all sides to take a deep breath. Now, China's today saying is chill out. Some are saying that North Korea is still blowing smoke. But my question to you, Jimmy, is this. When it comes to Russia and China, both appearing to be the peacemakers or whatever, and with the U.S. trying to put pressure on China to rein in Korea, my question to you is this. Who has the greater interest and or ability, if either, to rein in North Korea at this point, China or Russia?
Well, let me look at the first of all, you talked about two, who has the great ability and or the desire to rein them in. The ability probably lies in different areas with both China and Russia. I would think as it relates with China, their economic ties that they have with North Korea. I would think the region of the world that they are located in. I would think that the idea that China wants to control much of the world, controlling now most of the waterways of the world, I think that they would go with North Korea and be those who would like to let them play as long as it's in my benefit. But I do believe that their economic ties are so strong, they possibly could rein them in. You need to have some type of financial assistance in being able to develop those nuclear weapons and the ballistic missiles, etc. Now, on the Russian side, I think that Russia probably has a great interest because we know that there has been observations by the North Koreans in Iran when they would fire off their nuclear ballistic missiles and their nuclear equipment there that they're testing for their weapon of mass destruction. I know that Iranians have visited North Korea to do the exact same thing, observe what's going on in this testing of both nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. And we know that Russia played a key role in developing the entire program, the nuclear program. As far as the Iranians are concerned, they sent their technology over there. They sent their technicians over there. how they assisted them with even some of the uranium that they have been enriching and continue, by the way. Even the nuclear deal with Iran does not shut them down as it relates to developing the weaponry to have that nuclear weapon and refining the uranium and getting it ready to go into some nuclear weapon. So I think from that perspective, we probably see that it's probably equal between Russia and China as to what would their interest be. Are they capable? I think both of these countries would be capable, and I would probably have to fall down on the side of the Chinese as it relates to having more of a motivation to control the North Koreans, at least at this point in time, to accomplish their ultimate goals.
Jimmy, it's a delight to have you with us, as it always is. And, you know, one of the things that I suggest concerning this whole Korean matter, North Korean matter, and I'm just saying this is a statement, I'm not asking a question necessarily, but the fact of the matter is, I think that we all ought to sit back and just take a breath, because, you know, there are millions of lives that are at stake here. And I think that if anybody reacts impulsively, that it's going to cause great, great trouble all around the world. And I think that we need to pray that our leaders here in the United States, North Korea and Russia and China, just sort of sit back and take a breath a little bit. But having said that, Jimmy, it's clear that Russia and China, as well as the United States, are all angling to increase their influence. And the North Korean challenge may be forcing a new alignment. We know that China is really looking for world supremacy. We know that Russia is trying to restore the old glory days. The United States is trying to regain respect around the nations that Barack Obama gave away. But in the midst of all of this, Vladimir Putin, who is referred to as the great bare-chested chess player, is seeking to build a new Russian military base just 5 miles from the Israeli border. What do you know about that base, and what are your thoughts concerning it, Brother Jimmy?
Well, Gary, a couple of weeks ago on this broadcast, we talked about the fact that the Russians had moved some of their military forces into just north of the Israeli border with Syria there in the Golan Heights. Remember, the Golan Heights extends north into Syria and south into Israel, and the border is in between, and that's where they come together. So we reported that the Russians were moving forces in there. In fact, I had one national broadcaster call me and says, is this true? Is this really happening? And I was able to affirm that was the case. But now, 2 weeks later, the Russians are planning to put a permanent base right there, 5 miles north of the Israeli border. They have brought 5,000 mercenaries in. They had 3,000 in there. They brought 2,000 in from Argentina this last couple of days. These rent-a-military unit mercenaries are mostly from South America, and most of them citizens of Argentina. But the background they have is that they are very well connected to the former Russian commandos, and so they're there ready to move in and take over that particular location, doing what they need to do to set up a permanent base. It's at a location called Kenetra. And the Syrians, after the Six-Day War in 1967, evacuated this city to use it as a propaganda ploy to say they were afraid that the Israelis may try to come in and take them over. We were just there with a tour group. We got out of the vehicle, the bus, to take some pictures. The Israeli Defense Force goes up and says, get back in. Syria has just lobbed a missile over the border. Now, we don't know if it was Syria, Russia, these mercenaries, whatever. But this is heating up that northern border, and it's all a part of the Ezekiel 38 scenario that Bible prophecy talks about.
Wow, this is so interesting, and as Sam says, we're not hearing this anywhere else. But could you tell us what if any, response you've seen then from Israel, as this is happening, causing grave concern to all of us, especially as we understand the biblical prophecies you referred to? What kind of response do we see or should we expect from Israel?
Well, Isaac, I've got to tell you, it is very tense at that northern border. The Israeli Defense Force has massed their soldiers there in the Golan Heights at Syria's northern border. They're watching it very closely. They have an outpost there right at the location where I'm talking about, just across the border from Kenetra. that has a capability of monitoring every single conversation that is done publicly on any type of device there in Damascus and the location where the headquarters for the Syrian military are located. They have capability of watching any and every aircraft that takes off. In fact, it's so sophisticated, they can not only tell you who's on board, what weaponry is on board, what type of an aircraft it is, but they can tell you if there's a fly in the cockpit of that aircraft. And so they are watching, their eyes in the Golan Heights are watching Syria as to what they're doing.
Well, Jimmy, I think that's interesting. Now, a question I guess I would have here, if Russia is there, are they logically not doing it in coordination with primarily who? Syria or Iran or both? Or are they just doing it on their own because they can?
Well, I've got to tell you, Sam, they're not only doing it in coordination with Syria and Iran, because that's why Russia's there in the first place, to prop up Bashar Assad and to bring Iran in and form a partnership, military partnership with them in order to be able, I think, to make their move as Ezekiel 38 calls for. But in essence, they're also doing it with the blessings of the United States. Remember, Putin and Trump had at the G20 meeting the conversation to open up these safe zones. And this location where they're building the space is one of those safe zones today.
Well, very interesting. It's almost like a balance of power being there between Russia and the Shia Iranians to the north and the Saudis to the south. Certainly seems like a buildup, Jimmy, that is going to blow like a volcano at some point. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. We're going to come back after the break. We're going to continue with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, as we now look at what the United States is doing in an alignment with Hezbollah. You heard me right, Hezbollah in a fight against ISIS. You talk about complicated, this gets even more complicated by the day.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you're just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, we welcome you. And again, if you're traveling in the car or you are walking down the sidewalk, listening to us on an app or whatever you may be, we are glad that you're with us. And we encourage you and want to remind you that if you're just stepping into the program now or you're going to have to step out before we're concluded, you can listen to the entire program in archive form by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. Now, if you've not downloaded our really great app, I encourage you to do that. It just makes listening and listening after the fact so convenient. If you have an iPhone, just go to the App Store. It's a free download. Just put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap. If you have an Android, put in the phrase American Pastors Network, and you can download the free app. You can listen to the program at your convenience. You can communicate to us by email, text off of your phone. It allows us to communicate to you, tell you what the theme of the program is going to be, and the guests are going to be a couple hours before we run the program, as well as other things. You can also partner with us financially. Very easy, right off your phone, and we encourage you to do that from the standpoint of the financial partnering of it. God is giving us tremendous opportunities all across the country, but this is a ministry, and we need the active support. If God is blessing you as you listen to this program, if you are being blessed, encouraged by this, like we know so many are, would you please consider, prayerfully consider helping us? Just walk by, just a small amount even per month, with thousands of people across the country doing so, would be of tremendous, tremendous help. You can do that on your iPhone with that app. Now let's pick back up on where we left off. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, I want to bring you back in here now. We were in the Middle East. That's where Gary took us when he asked a question about Russia building a military base 5 miles from Israel. I want to stay here in the Middle East now, because at this point, the whole concept of this program was rumors of wars. What in the world is going on? We've got the North Korea circumstance. We know. We've got the whole ISIS thing boiling around. It continues. Yes, we know. There's lots of those things. But even in the last day or two, the U.S. military announced that they were going to begin fighting ISIS by dropping bombs with U.S. warplanes in the Philippines. Now, that's a new front. The U.S. has also announced that they're very strongly considering getting out of Afghanistan and hiring a private army to finish the job there. There's all kinds of things that are happening. But one I want to go to right next that is very confusing in some respects is the decision, evidently, by the United States to partner with Hezbollah, some of the ground troops really effectively united with Iran, to help finish off ISIS. Jimmy, what's going on and what could cause the United States to partner with, frankly, an enemy, a tremendous enemy of Israel?
A couple things we need to think about, Sam. Excuse me. First of all, Iran sent Hezbollah into the Middle East back in 1982 to be their surrogate terrorist organization at Israel's northern border. That was the time when, of course, the Marine barracks were blown up. Over 280 Marines were killed at that point. Hezbollah has been there. They've had a couple of wars since that time with Israel, the last one in 2006. They're preparing. They are better armed. They have probably the fifth largest arsenal of military war-type equipment than any other nation in the world. They're the number five in all of that. So you've got to recognize that. Secondly, you've got to also recognize that Iran is a major player, and they say, under the auspices of the fact they're trying to fight Islamic State, so they say they have moved their Revolutionary Guard into Syria, and sometimes you'll see a skirmish between the two, Islamic State and the Syrian-led coalition of Russia, Syria, and Iran, Revolutionary Guard, and of course Hezbollah comes across to assist in that as well. Now, that's the scenario out there in the Middle East right now. As it relates to this alignment with Hezbollah, and we've just been talking about the Ezekiel 38 scenario found in Ezekiel chapter 38 and Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11, which names all the players that will align themselves against the Jewish state of Israel, which happens in the first 6 months of the tribulation period. Now it looks like, or people are accusing, some rabbis, some very important rabbis in Israel are saying that the United States may be involved also in this coalition of nations in Ezekiel chapter 38. I'll address that in just a moment, but let me explain how this is happening. Remember last week, President Trump had the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Prime Minister Harari, come in and meet Trump at the White House. They had a very important discussion. The president trying to reach out to all the players in the Middle East in particular to try accomplishing some of his goals. And a part of their talks there at the White House was that the United States was being requested by Lebanon to come train the Lebanese army. Let me remind you of the geographical situation in Lebanon. In southern Lebanon, you have Hezbollah. They control it. There is no control by the Prime Minister of Lebanon in southern Lebanon in those areas of Hezbollah. But truth be known, Hezbollah has its tentacles in the parliament, in the election of the Prime Minister, and all that's going on governmental-wise in the rest of Lebanon. And so the Prime Minister Harari trying to get President Trump to send the U.S. troops in to train his military so they can become stronger and have some way of holding at bay Hezbollah there in southern Lebanon. Trump agreed. He's deployed the U.S. troops to go in to do that. Now, let's go back again. Hezbollah fighting with Syria, supposedly going after Islamic State along with Russia and Iran. And there we are now, having the United States become a component in this military operation, supposedly to go after Islamic State. But they're now co-partnering with Hezbollah and all the terroristic forces that they have and how bad they are and what they want to do. I've got to say, and you probably know this, Sam, better than anybody, politics makes strange bedfellows. And that is absolutely the truth. What I've just talked about, all the players of Ezekiel 38, with the exception of the United States. I do not see the United States in Bible prophecy. So this scenario could be setting up for the United States to get over there, get in between the action that's going on. And remember, the rapture of the church takes place, which is going to probably have maybe, I don't know how many that they would say, but maybe up to half of the United States population leave and go into the heavenlies at the rapture of the church. That's going to weaken the United States morally, educationally, militarily, and economically. And so they're going to be a nebulous entity. And then they get over there mixed up with Ezekiel 38. That's going to give them a little bit of a problem. That may be the reason the United States is not in prophecy.
You know, Jimmy, this is making so much sense, and it's so helpful for all of us and for every listener to know what the Bible says about this and what's actually going on in the news and then seeing it in the Bible. The thing that just is incredible to me is, how can we as America think that we could trust a group that's tied in with Iran or Iran itself? But how in the world can we find ourselves in a situation trying to trust Hezbollah? Is there anything out there, any reasoning how we think we could have a trust in them at this point in time?
I think it's nativity or ignorance, one or the other, and both of them are terrible if that is the case. Our president claims to be involved in allowing Bible studies to take place in the White House. He supposedly has this prayer group of Christian leaders that are praying for him and taking care of him, but I'm seeing some decisions that he's making that are making me very much concerned. One of his statements that he just made on Twitter about North Korea has got me very much concerned. But I think that it just has to be ignorance. I don't understand why they don't understand, and I'm talking about his advisors and the people at the Pentagon don't recognize how bad Hezbollah is and what they're doing and how this coalition is coming together. You know, I had an opportunity to teach a Bible study at the Pentagon with a bunch of generals. And as they walked in, I took my Bible and I opened it up. I said, fellas, today you're going to make decisions affecting tomorrow. Today you better understand what's going to happen tomorrow. And I taught Bible prophecy. I think that's part of the problem. These people at the Pentagon, the advisors in the White House, even President Trump himself, don't understand what we've been talking about. You said it. I mean, it's just exciting to see how this is all coming together. We better start studying the Word of God. It is absolute and these things will happen.
Well, that's absolutely correct, Jimmy. But, you know, my question to you, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but who is behind this idea of coming together with Hezbollah? And I mean, that is just going to mix up the pot even more. If this continues, it's very, very serious. So who's behind it, and what's the motivation behind it, do you think?
Well, there's so many layers, Gary, in the Middle East. When you come in to try to help somebody, you're hindering somebody else, or you're getting involved in something you don't want to get involved in. Prime Minister Harari, the Prime Minister of Lebanon, he's fighting for his own existence in the part of Lebanon that he supposedly has political control over. And so he was reaching out to the president. He had seen the president intervene in other situations. He was over there at that meeting in Saudi Arabia when the president visited Saudi Arabia and the 51 Islamic Arab leaders. And he was just reaching out. But by doing that and by making a decision to assist possibly one of our allies, then you're stepping in the place of coming together and having a relationship with Hezbollah. It's a mixed bag over there. And again, I say politics does make strange bedfellows.
Well, Jimmy, in fact, it does. We know that and we're seeing it. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, God is managing and God is overseeing this alignment in biblical prophecy that Jim Reed referred to. That's really what's happening. We can't explain it. Doesn't make sense, but God is making it make sense. When we come back, we're going to talk about in this solution segment how we now approach all of this and the attitude of some of our government leaders towards what we can or cannot do. We're going to talk about that. I think it'll be a very interesting discussion.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we enter now into the final segment, our solution segment, we try to bring together the bigger thoughts of the program and really focus it down on some practical considerations, practical and truthful considerations as they derive and come out of the Scripture. And in that regard, we're talking about the concept of all these threats of war, and that's what the news is all about, so we need to talk about it. But this Bible also talks about that increasing in the end days. But there's one aspect here, Jimmy, that I want to bring to you because it's been a thought that's been in my mind. I've been observing it for some time. I just want to see, frankly, where you go with this. And that is this. When I hear the strong words of our president who says to North Korea, you threaten us again, we're going to come after you with, quote, fire and fury like the world has never seen, end quote. That's a really big statement. And then when General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, on Sunday said, when questioned about North Korea and some things, he was questioned with the fact of whether or not these threats and so forth keep him up at night. And he responded, quote, nothing keeps me awake at night. I keep other people awake at night, end quote. Well, you know, these are significant things, and I would like our leaders to speak confidently. I think that's important. But, Jimmy, there's something that's bothered me personally, is that nowhere in these do I hear what we know biblically to be the point of saying, if God wills, if God so undertakes, we are under a threat, we need God's help. I'm not hearing anything about God is our security. And it makes me almost think of the passage in Revelation 18:7. That's not necessarily speaking to this, although the principle, I think, is. It's a verse that talks about Babylon the Great, who sits there in those end days and says, I sit as a queen, and I'm no widow, and I shall see no sorrow, end quote. And they're obviously, they disappear almost in a night, but they are a nation. There's an attitude that I'm talking about here, Jimmy. What do you think about that? It's almost as if God could look down and say, wait a minute, that's confidence, but that may be arrogance. And just speak to me about that. You ever thought about that?
I think that's a great commentary on it, Sam. You know, you were talking earlier about Barack Obama, and during his regime as president, it was appeasement. But now we're looking at Donald Trump,
who is, to some extent, everybody would have to agree, braggadocious, pounds his chest a lot, and let us know how important he is. Now we're switching to the attack mode. There has to be a balance, a very important balance, both politically, but absolutely spiritually, in between the two. And in fact, I think, I was listening during the break time to the local radio station who was carrying a professor who teaches at a university in Tennessee, and she made this statement. I thought it was great. She said, our world leaders have no understanding of the Word of God. And so I think that's a part of it. When you look at leaders, the people that God has used down through the century, there was that element of humility within them. I remember when King David, 2 Samuel chapter 5, was asked by the Lord to take over all 12 tribes. He'd only been the leader of one of the tribes of the 12 of Israel. He was asked by all the 12 tribal leaders, the other 12, to take over all of them, and he went immediately to the Lord to see exactly what the Lord would have to say. Do we see our leaders doing that? We talk about a Bible study in the White House. That thrills my heart. But is President Trump in that Bible study? Is he having a time of prayer? Is it a show when these people come into the Oval Office and pray for the pastor, lay their hands on him, and talk about some so-called prophecy that they believe God has given them? Are they coming in humbly, bowing on their knees, asking for wisdom from God, and allowing the president to get that type of an approach to what he's talking about? You know, bravado, or chest pounding, that can lead to some real tough problems, and I think we have to have the balance in there. We have to be firm. We have to take a stand. We have to let the enemy understand what's going to take place, but we just don't start trying to beat him to death with the most powerful fire that you've ever seen in all of history.
Jimmy, if you would, talk to the American people on the program today. Since this information has come out concerning North Korea, it seems like everything in the media has been reacting in an overwhelming way. We've got to do this, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do the other thing. And then, of course, Donald Trump came out with his pronunciation of fire and brimstone, practically, upon North Korea. We've got people across this nation, and including Christians, who are really worked up today. They're fearful, they're concerned, they're saying, what can we do? Are we overemphasizing what's going on there in Korea? I mean, we fought this situation with the Russians in the past. Nuclear weapons have been in the world for a long, long time. And I know we are running out of time here. Are we jumping into this more than what we should be jumping into it? Talk to the American people about what our response should be to this whole matter from the biblical perspective, if you would, please.
In the Olivet Discourse, the week of the Passion, when Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, Olivet Discourse, which is at the beginning of the week, the Lord said, you'll look for me to return to this earth, and here's an indicator of when I'll be coming back. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, you be not dismayed, for a nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. I do believe that's what we're seeing, Gary. We have an expansion of wars all across this world. We are looking and focusing on this crazy man that's leading North Korea, who just as soon kill his uncle or kill his sister as he would kill a citizen of the United States of America. So as we observe his actions, we have to recognize he is crazy. He's capable of doing some of these things as he's threatening to do. I think we need to be alert. I think that we need to pay attention. I think we need to pray for him. The Bible tells us to pray for leaders that are in higher authority, 1 Timothy 2. I think we need to pray for him. I think we need to pray for him to get saved. Wisdom for the president. Wisdom for his cabinet, especially the military leadership. And I think that this is going to be happening. We have the blessed hope that Jesus is going to take us out of this. But indeed, we need to encourage others to get that blessed hope and be able to sit and relax and understand the Lord is still in control.
There we go. And Jimmy, I'm going to ask you to pray in just a minute, but I just put down a couple of things. This is my own personal sense. For those who know the Lord, you just read it. Be not dismayed. Look up, for the Lord's about to return. But for those who don't know the Lord as Savior, you'd better be dismayed, and you'd better be looking up. Really, look to Jesus, who alone can make the difference. Jimmy, I think that's how I'm trying to encourage people to do so right now. Look to Jesus, and for those who know him, look up. Could you close us in prayer, please, if you could today?
Father, those eavesdropping on this conversation, between the four of us, may they understand the urgency of the moment, the realization that they need to be prepared for what's going to happen in that rapture, which we've talked about. Let them come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by admitting their sinners, believing that Christ died to give them eternal life, and calling upon him to do that. And then those of us who do know Christ, as we live a pure, productive life, let us try to win others to Christ, give the message out of the blessed hope that is about to happen on us, and move forward in the nurture and the strength and the power of God. In thy precious name we pray with thanksgiving.
Amen, amen. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung for being with us as well. And that the great place to close the program, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, don't know him, look to him now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.